Okay, this is our board meeting for February 13th, 2013. The recording has been started, so I'm going to call the meeting to order at 5:40 Pacific Standard Time. The first thing we need to do is take roll. I am Dave Pawson and I am present. Kim Laird is not going to be present tonight. Nathan Wakefield.
Present.
Aaron Stevens.
Present.
Martin Frost. Not present. Lloyd Timberlake is not going to be present tonight. Scott Krause. Missing. Tom Wall.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Brown. Mike Sullivan is not present. And a couple people are repeated, so that's everybody. Okay. We need to approve the agenda for this evening, which hopefully you guys got to take a look at. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make that motion. This is Tom.
Thank you.
You bet.
And Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron, for seconding. And Nathan, if we get going too fast, just say hold up and we'll slow down so you can.
All right, hold up just a second. I was in the wrong document here.
Okay.
I accidentally had last week's agenda up and was editing that.
Okay, the one you're editing now is the correct one.
It is?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Okay, how come at the bottom it says Tom joined the call at 10 p.m.?
Because it's probably cut and pasted from last time. So.
Oh, that threw me off. Okay, sure. Should I just delete all that stuff at the bottom then?
Yeah, you can definitely delete any reference.
Okay. Yeah, my mistake. Continue.
No, I appreciate that. Okay, so just to sum up for you, the people who were absent were Kim Laird, Martin Frost, Lloyd Timberlake, Scott Krause, Sandy Brown, Mike Sullivan. And actually, this is very handy that I can just watch you type so I can tell when you're caught up. And you can delete the duplicate Sandy Brown and Mike Sullivan. Great. Thank you. Okay. Tom had moved to approve the agenda for tonight, and Aaron had seconded it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any discussion we need to have? Okay. Then we will vote on the approval of the agenda. Is anyone opposed to the agenda as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Then the vote passes unanimously. Thank you. We need to approve the January minutes from our last meeting. Do we have a motion for that?
I'll make the motion. And I'll second the motion.
People here, you guys are going to get tired of making motions, but I appreciate that. Okay,
yeah,
does anyone to second it?
I'll second, or no, Aaron. Aaron second. You can second,
it.
Aaron.
So, you made the motion, Tom?
I made the motion.
I'm
oh, Aaron made the motion.
All right, then I'll second it. Either way.
Reverse.
Whichever will work, just mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, in discussion, the only thing I noted is that Scott's name is spelled wrong in the approval of the agenda. in the January amendment.
Scott Crosby?
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Evening, nice.
Nice, Scott.
Didn't miss much.
You did.
So I would note in the approval of the January minutes that in January, when we approved the agenda, Scott Krause's name is spelled wrong.
Oh, well, I don't care about that as long as everybody knows who I am.
Right. I'm just saying if we're going to approve
it's
the minutes, we
minute.
Actually have to be accurate. So that was the only error I saw. Okay. Did anyone else have any issues with the January minutes?
Nope.
No. Good. Okay, so then we will vote. Does anyone disapprove of the January minutes with that one change? Okay. Would anyone like to abstain?
I'll abstain. I've read them, but I wasn't there, so I cannot speak to the accuracy of the minutes.
So Tom abstains, and the motion passes because we still have 4 votes for. Okay. Getting there. Now we can actually have the meeting part of the meeting. All right, we'll move on to reports. The first report was Kim's festival report. Hopefully we got to read it. It sounds like things are moving along. Because Kim is not here, any questions we have probably need to be posted on the boards or sent to her directly. I had minor questions that I had posted on the boards. Does anyone have anything we need to discuss about this report while we're here on the call?
I don't think so. I'm glad we're having the trading card game again. I think that is a neat tradition to continue. And I know that being for video tutorial content stuff, and this is totally secondary, I guess, but people definitely appreciate getting those and that and then raffles that got a longer tail.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell because I think I don't know about the trading card game. We'll see how that goes. But I think the trading cards are really cool, and I can't tell if I'm typical or not. But
I like them.
Yeah, I've gotten very, very good responses from people that I've sent tutorial contest packages to, because I've been including those for the past 2 years.
Training cards, nice.
Yeah, people.
I think they're great.
Excellent.
What did Kim mean with hovercraft under the fun fund?
I think they're those shop vac hovercraft kind of things. They're like a nicer version of those that people make for science fairs, I think.
Like, can people actually ride in them?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like Back to the Future hovercraft?
My assumption was with Tom. I know they make such things that are, you know, powerful enough to move a person around, but that's about it. And I think, I'm assuming that's what they mean.
Yeah.
We actually have, like, Star Wars land speeders going around the gym. That'd be awesome, but I'm not really expecting that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they sell those kits out of the back of magazines sometimes. They're not that expensive and shouldn't be too difficult to put together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh. So, cool. I'm curious to see, what she's talking about with these media personnel at the college, because I think there are a lot of things that we could potentially pitch to try and get some national news coverage, especially with IRC winners coming to this thing. And I'd like to see someone try and get some media coverage, especially if we have some interns working for us. But that's the conversation for the future, I guess, once you know what's going on there.
Media stuff. Contacts and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking like embassies might be interested that there's a Chilean person who's coming to perform at this international juggling event in the U.S. You know, like, it can't hurt to send out a couple of emails just to try and generate any kind of interest from anyone.
Anthony Dorian, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think we should probably leverage that or try and get someone to leverage that for us. But, you know, all of us have a lot of stuff to do.
That's the truth.
I know. You guys have probably all seen Thomas Dietz, but I've never met him or seen him in person, so I think that's pretty cool that he's going to be performing.
I didn't know
he's kind of been off of the radar for a while, off the juggling community radar at least.
Well, he was injured, wasn't he? Like, didn't he, like, damage his rotator cuff or something?
That's what I thought, some sort of repetitive stress injury. But
yeah, I thought that he posted like 9 or 10 months ago that he was under his first full recovery practice again. So I think he was like majorly injured. That's why it was out of the scene for a while.
Cool. All right.
So anything else on Kim's festival report?
No, I guess the only comment that I have is I would like to know more about these interns and what they are specifically going to focus on, whether or not the humble marketing director could submit some ideas for these interns to follow through on. But I can send Kim an email about that.
Yeah, it certainly seems like you should be in touch with them.
Yeah.
I'd agree. All right. Anything else there? Okay.
Yep.
So the next up is future festival planning. I'll speak briefly about the 2015, which is I still owe the ECQ people a letter of interest, just saying we'd like to talk to them further. But I've been dropping lots of stuff, so I made myself a to-do list. I'm following more religiously, and that's pretty much at the top of it now, so hopefully I'll get that done shortly. Mike submitted an agreement and a letter related to Purdue in 2014.
What was that, ECQ letter of interest?
Yes, for Turbo, ECQ, the circus school in Quebec.
Okay, yeah.
I'm doing them the dignity of not having me try to pronounce it properly.
Where is this stuff from? I have the report from Mike. You said there was an email or something?
There's two links in the agenda. One is to the letter he wrote us, and one is to the actual booking agreement.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The booking agreement. Got it, right.
Now, for me personally, there's all kinds of good and bad news there. I mean, the bad news for me, first of all, is I didn't really get to read the booking agreement in detail enough that I can really comment on it. But the quote-unquote good news is that Mike isn't here to really discuss it anyway, but the bad news is, as I read his letter, he thinks the board meeting is next week.
Oh.
So I imagine we're just going to need to try to lock this up in the next board meeting in March.
Yeah.
If there's anybody who did read it and has questions or comments, we can certainly dive into that.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
I mean,
be the same situation with the breakfast and meals and stuff, where the IDA has to be in charge of getting that on the website and ordering those ahead of time and stuff. One question.
Yeah. I like the fact that there's no hotel block or anything attached to it. I think that is a very strong strong note in their favor.
You convinced me to do a venue now where we had to guarantee a big hotel block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that it will, I mean, you know, this would be the second university in a row, and I think that will help. I mean, from everything that I've heard, Bowling Green sounds like it's going to be a relatively large festival, at least, you know, compared to the past 6 or 7 years. And if that goes well, this should go well. My one concern is that it's another Midwestern fest.
That's true with going straight to Canada after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that would just make Canada that much. Yeah, I guess, yes, you're right. I guess
it's the West Coast starts getting ignored a bit with over 5 years in a row without being in the West Coast at all. But
right.
Yeah.
But
I would love to have a sense of the West Coast if you want to, if we want to set up something in 2016. That'd be great. I'd love to have a West Coast fest. I haven't been out there in 5 years.
Yeah. I guess, you know, we haven't had a strong West Coast proposal, though. So.
There hasn't been, and I know he did research, and there was some research done, but...
So, I mean, it sounds good, and it seems like, you know, just reading this letter, Mike seems pretty excited about it. So, yeah.
At a high level, everything I've seen or heard from Purdue seems promising. I just need to dive into the details of what he sent us, and I haven't done that yet.
Right, absolutely.
Anything else on the subject?
I was going to say, what was I going to say? Something about the room rates. No, I've forgotten. Never mind. But the dining, yeah, finding out more. Oh, and it's close to a major airport, correct? Because I know that's one of our issues, too, with the...
Certainly closer than Bowling Green, yeah.
Yeah.
My recollection is it's closer than Bowling Green, but it's still far enough to be a bit of a pain. We'd certainly need to have some... story for people so that help them understand how they'd get there.
Yeah, I agree. I guess Mike can fill us in on that.
West Lafayette, Indiana. Is it in Indiana?
Is there an airport in Lafayette?
Lafayette, Indiana?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really
I've never been there, so I don't know either.
Yeah,
I'm curious. Because if people have to fly into either O'Hare or Detroit, that's going to be a long drive.
Yeah.
I feel like when he first brought it up, that was the question I asked right away, and he said, yeah, there's Lafayette Regional Airport. Oh, wait, that's L-A, not I-N.
Apparently the largest major one is Indy.
How far away is that? Like an hour drive?
I don't know. I'm just searching on on the Google.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm pretty sure that's the airport Mike noted as the obvious one to fly into.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, and apparently the Purdue airport no longer serves commercial flights. You have to fly to Indianapolis and drive to Lafayette. There's the shuttle service offered by Lafayette Limo. And the Union Club Hotel there's apparently a shuttle service because, you know, it's a college town. But you have to fly into Indy and then drive.
Okay.
But yet, and it's, I'm just trying to look up the time distance in between. It says it's about 1 hour, 10-minute drive.
Yeah, so that's actually pretty comparable to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't do us any favors, especially if we're going international the next year. You know, if people want to go out and see the world, they might go to Bowling Green, then skip a year, and then go to whatever. But we don't really have any data to support either one of these. It's totally anecdotal. Who knows? Just that's how people behave.
I feel like it's just kind of become a trend. I mean, even... Winston-Salem is a bit of a drive for sure, and
yeah,
seems like the cheaper venues are farther away from the nice airports.
Well, the places in the middle of nowhere, airport-wise, just can give us better deals. That's
yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And as long as it's a decently affordable transportation system, I'm all for it. But yeah, even I don't know what our current plan is for this year for the, because I know we talked about having some kind of carp or, you know, get a shuttle together thing to try to reduce the prices, and I don't know if that's coming about or not.
Yeah, last I heard from Kim, she's working out some rental car agreement that's pretty cheap. So
rental car, and then it was something like where if you travel by yourself on the shuttle, it costs a certain amount, but if you travel with two or more people or up to four people, it got cheaper and cheaper. So we're talking about some kind of sign-up thing where you, you know, try to coordinate with some other jugglers, but I don't know how that would look.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
All right. Anything else on Purdue?
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on then. The next report, which didn't actually come in, was on the membership drive. Scott, did you have anything you wanted to update us on in that area?
Lloyd and I never quite got around to opening up this month. We've both been really busy,
okay.
So nothing new.
Okay. All right. I didn't see a report on education.
Yeah, I wrote an email to you guys just saying there's nothing new at this point. We're all working on our individual projects, but have a meeting next week.
Okay, thank you. And sorry if you sent an email on IRC. Was that in the same boat?
Yeah, IRC, same thing, yeah. Nothing too new from last month, just we've been working on publicity stuff for the Mexico one. That's it.
Okay. All right, the next report was a website report from Mike. Mike is not here. We didn't get a report. I've had some discussions with him offline, and I should make sure that I'm accurately representing your feelings. I think Mike is really still waiting for the point when we will go with one of these AMS solutions. And I have been representing that I definitely got the temperature that the board was not comfortable with the pricing on those, and it was very unlikely that at least the current composition of the board was going to approve any of those options if we had to pay for them.
Yeah, that represents my feeling towards it. I will probably
concern, yes,
vote against any AMS solution that comes up, to be perfectly honest. I feel like we can, like, our main strategic concern right now would be having a website that people will see that makes us look like a live and vibrant organization that I believe we are. And making information accessible to people, which our current website does not really. I mean, it's grown organically and everything's there if you know how to look for it.
But so I had somebody just last night looking for something and I didn't even know she was on the IJ website until she was like, oh,
sure.
My God, this sucks. I can't find anything.
Sure.
Immediate reaction. So, yeah, it's a tough one.
So I think that really our main concern right now is making something that makes us look good and has and is functional. And if it makes life easier for some volunteers, that would be great. But I think that making things easier for volunteers would be a concern once, you know, fingers crossed, the volume of members that we get increases. Which I think would be an indirect result of having a cleaner site that might be powered through WordPress or something, even something simple like that.
Yeah, I am probably more concerned about the back-end issues than you are, perhaps not as much as Mike, just because I think those are ending up hurting users as well. The fact that you have to have like six different logins,
right,
add for users, and is a function of the back-end being shoddy.
And that's mainly just for, well, you have to have the login for the website and then the login for the eJuggle.
Yeah, those are the two primary ones, and then there's like one for the store and something else for something nobody ever uses,
right,
pictures or something.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a savvy developer would be able to install like a WordPress functional store, and that we would be able to just use the WordPress login as a store login sometime down the line. I don't know anything about that end of development, but I certainly see that being something that a developer would have figured out.
If you guys are looking for a cost-effective way, then I want to look into yourself, publish.
We can live with what we have now. And I don't think we can, we think that either due to the front or the back end. But I think right now he's in limbo waiting for the point when someone will pay for an AMS system. And
it would be nice for us to move forward with the project without that.
Right. I'm going to say we need to at least be looking at other options, because if we really think this is so dangerous to live with, I don't think we can just sit around waiting, hoping EWE changes his mind.
Right.
So I'm trying, you know, I understand Mike has put a lot of work into these solutions, and he may be tired and not interested in working on other solutions, but if that's true, we need to know that, because we need to find somebody else to do it.
Right.
Is the stance I'm taking. I want to make sure somebody, Mike or otherwise, is looking at non-AMS solutions that are more affordable.
Now, does this go in the discussion, even though it's not regarding a specific report?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And I just want to check in, Scott and Nate, and do you guys know about the AMS system and stuff?
When I first came on board, I heard it mentioned, but I don't know all the details surrounding it.
Yeah, so basically just a quick background there was a big website push because EWE was willing to fund a website revamp. Mike Sullivan was kind of the lead of the team and was really pushing for it. AMS, which stands for Association Management System. Basically, it came down to both of the packages that we're looking at cost about $6,000 annually to keep up. And that, I think, is one of our biggest concerns of what happens if the $6,000 a year isn't there to keep that going type of thing. So he presented a whole report, which as far as voting and doing any type of voting on the website or, you know, forward looking, would be good for you guys to get your hands on that report to kind of look at that too.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tom and Aaron and I are of a similar mind, but really you guys should be caught up so that you can have an educated opinion as well.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion is that $6,000 is way too much. And if we're not going to get an AMS, I don't think we should get an AMS if that's what that means. Because there's a lot of ways out there that we can design our own website. I mean, there's tools out there that will allow you to, like, point-and-click design a website. It won't be
totally
necessarily the most slick thing in the world unique thing in the world, but it's point-and-click.
It could look a lot more modern than what we have right now.
Right, and I bought one myself for $100. Yeah. I mean, it's very cost-effective in that respect, and I believe that one that I looked at comes with store functionality, like as an option. So there are ways to get around that.
Right, and a lot of the concerns as far as why an AMS is good for our organization is the concept that it would run a lot of the registration process, which is a big timely thing for the volunteer, as well as keep track of a lot of the member database. Like, we'd have more access to member database, and there were a lot of bells and whistles and stuff, but it's just stuff that we don't necessarily need.
Right.
But yeah, I think
with that database too. Right now, our current membership, like email database and contact database, is all held on Martin Frost's computer. And I think there should definitely be a solution for that somehow. But through Stanford, he has a whatever big enough to hold all the information, which apparently our website does not. Which is another thing. What the AMS could do is get all the information into the hands of the organization rather than on Martin Frost's computer.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I think the bottom line for me is what Scott said, is I almost don't even need to know what it does, because I think that in an organization of our size, just $6,000 for a piece of infrastructure is a non-starter for me.
Yeah.
And in one of the discussions with Mike, I made a comment about how it wasn't affordable, and he said something along the affordable, do we have a budget for this? And that's when I said, okay, so I don't think we ever did state a clear budget of what we were willing to spend, but I was pretty sure that the temperature among the board was that we knew that was too much.
Well, $6,000 is
like
a
there and a Tom and me, and now Scott speaking out that we're all kind of a similar mind there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Somebody else is saying something? $6,000 is what?
It's not the $6,000 that bothers me. It's the recurring $6,000.
Yeah. And that's after like I want to say $20,000, but I could be wrong, but it's after a big hefty setup fee in the beginning.
Yeah, there's an install fee. And that does not include design costs either. That's just porting information out.
Right. And I think Mike was of the mind of, oh, well, EWE's paying for this. We might as well do it big, which if that was the case, that's great. However, what if EWE backs out at any year? Or what if, you know, that sponsorship disappears, and we'd be future boards with $6,000 to pay every year. So,
Right, and I think this is what we need to get past, is Mike keeps mentioning how we need to take advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
And I keep trying to impress that I think it is a zero times-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't think we can do this.
Okay.
Right.
I think there are other options that are more realistic for the organization at this time, but I don't know how to research them. And if somebody did know how to research them, I would really encourage them to do it.
Yeah. I don't know anything that would cover the back end, but just something that would cover the front end, which in my mind is just as important, if not more important, than the back end. We could hire a developer to throw together like a mock-up of the site, even. And we could approach EWE with that, you know, show them what it would be if it all gets, you know, fixed or finalized or whatever.
I mean, EWE's current temperament is that he's not giving us any new money until he sees things change.
Right, yeah. And I mean, that would be a nice way to show him that we have something tangible that we just need, you know, funding for.
He doubts that.
Yeah,
I think
he's
just angry with us.
Right.
And actually continues to be. I've had some more communications this month that were kind of disheartening. So I don't think it's anything new. I just think that progress I thought we had made with him has not actually been made. So. But we're straying now. So is there anything else we want to discuss on the website? Okay. All right, moving on. The next report was Tom's marketing report.
So I pretty much literally just uploaded that to the site, but I'll go over it extra fast. Basically, I've been doing lots of work on the tutorial contest, as usual. I actually just confirmed the last judge today. I was originally planning on moving on with only 6 judges, which is totally fine because it's not a popular vote. You know, you want to have an odd number for popular votes. This is a ranked pair Condorcet-style vote where basically people submit a list of 10 videos and a list of 10 things in order, and it takes cardinality into account. But I got a seventh judge today, so that's great. So I've got Kurt Carlisle, who's a comedy juggler from Portland, Oregon. I've got Lucas Abdu, he's the guy that confirmed today, who is amazing juggler and videographer from Brazil. I've got Efren Sandoval, who is a juggler from Mexico. He is helping me, or I guess we are working together to create a Spanish language video that outlines all of the rules for this event. We have Marco Akkonen, who is juggler and Diabolos from Finland. Robin Gunny, who is a juggler from the UK. Norby Whitney, who is a British guy living in Canada and teaching at the circus school in Quebec. Who's a great videographer, and my friend Lauren Klipp is also on the judging panel this year, and she is officially the assistant coach for the U.S. All-Star Jump Rope team, so she's going to bring some interesting variety to the contest judging panel this year. We've got a bunch of sponsors lined up. I'm working on getting more, but I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of time to finish that. I want to have the an actual listing of what the prizes are by the end of the first week of March. Not ideal, but it's what we've got. Some of these people, they don't tell me exactly what they're going to send until they actually send it. So that's the thing. Flow Toys is donating something. Duncan Yo-Yos is donating to me again. I think they're donating a full set of 10 prizes. Again, they've been very generous in the past, and they're continuing to be so. So we thank Duncan. Norwich, the Christian Von Vick's juggling ball company, is going to donate some stuff. Sportco, I spoke to her at MadFest, and she said that she'd donate something, but I have not gotten an email confirmation of that yet. Neon Husky is supporting us again with the gift certificate. Dubay is supporting us. Play is giving us another massive box of prizes, so that's going to be really great. That'll be shipped to Rob's house probably by the end of next week. I don't know what's in that package yet, though. A1 Technologies is a Pixel Boy company from Slovakia, and they're really interested in helping us out this year, so that's great. They're donating a set of Pixel Boy that retails at €350, so that's pretty neat. Brontosaurus Balls, Flying Clipper already mailed out their package, and Rob got that today. That's great. Rob is our distribution guy, Rob Detweiler, and he's handling all the distribution for this thing this year, which is great. Pass the Props is doing it. K8 is doing it again. I don't know what they're sending us. They were very generous last year, though. And Trick Concept, which is a circus prop company out in California. They make steer wheels and a bunch of other things. They're donating a set of dowing clubs and a hoodie, I believe. I confirmed them yesterday. I've been sending out a bunch of emails to a bunch of other fringe organizations trying to get some stuff. Like there's some pen spinning companies, you know, pen spinning, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
What is it?
And I figured that would be kind of a, you know, a low overhead thing that might be interested in helping us out, but I haven't heard back from anyone there yet. I've also written to a couple of kendama companies to no avail. I've written to a bunch of jump rope companies, sort of highlighting the fact that Lauren is on the judging panel, but I haven't heard back from any of them yet either. And you know, I think if we don't get any more sponsors, we'd still be in a great place. But you know, can't hurt to find some folks. As I said earlier, Efren is helping us make a Spanish language video. Lucas is going to make a Portuguese one, and I'm going to make an English one this week. The English one, for sure, will be on the IJA YouTube channel. I don't know what the deal is with Efren's or Lucas's. I almost would prefer those to be on their personal channels because they have a unique audience that we don't. Efren's the social media coordinator for Malabares, which is a Mexican juggling store. Oh, Malabares is also donating something. They're donating 3 Diablos. I forgot to mention them. And they've got like 91,000 followers on Facebook, which is, you know, huge. It's like 20 times the size of us. And Lucas has a huge Brazilian following. So that would be really great if we can get some extra videos from
their pages. That would be awesome. Yeah, so
huge. And I have given the judges a deadline to send me all their photos and bios and stuff. I should have all that stuff done by Friday. I'm kind of at the mercy of them, though. And I would like to have the big announcement of the contest on the e-zine out and published and ready to go by the end of this weekend. I've already had some people sending me personal emails asking if it's happening this year, so I hear some people chomping at the bit. And I'm not worried about having the actual prizes listed, but I'm going to try and get all the donors listed for that big announcement. But, you know, again, I won't know exactly what we're looking at. It looks like we're looking at a lot of stuff this year, which is great. We're going to have a People's Choice Award again. You know, I confirmed two more donors, and I think it makes sense to do that. And having a popular vote for that would also present us with a very interesting opportunity to launch a new e-newsletter format, if that is something that we're still looking to pursue. I've been speaking with Aaron on and off about this, and I don't know if you have talked to Don about it or not, Aaron.
It was in emails and stuff, but I mean, I haven't talked too much with other people about it, and my email to Don bounced back, so it hasn't gone too far yet.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I'll give you guys a really, really, really quick overview of what those conversations have been. Basically, one of the things that I think that we struggle with as an organization is the fact that we do not have any reliable metrics about who we're reaching. Like, we know on Facebook how many people see a post. We can tell how many people click on a post, but to my knowledge, we can't see how many people, like, you know, say when we put out a link to the e-zine, how many people actually go to the e-zine just by typing in e.juggle.org, e-zine.juggle.org, or whatever? How many people get to that by clicking on a link that they see in an e-newsletter? How many people get to that by something that they see on Facebook or something that they see on Twitter? You know, all of our Facebook stuff is pushed to Twitter. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. We don't even know if people are reading the e-newsletter. You know, we don't know if people just delete it when they get it. We don't know if people click to open the thing and see that it's a PDF and delete it then. You know, we don't really know what's going on. And there are a lot of companies that offer solutions for this that are super cheap. The first one that comes to mind is Constant Contact. There are a ton of other
companies that do the same thing. Those, MailChimp, there's something vertical communication or something. They're a ton. Just know they're a lot. They're all relatively cheap to run. Some of them are free for organizations that are small. We might be larger than those organizations, though.
Yeah, it has to be 2,000 or less to be free.
Yeah, so, but those things will tell you how many people open your e-newsletter. People will say, you know, it'll tell you how many people delete it, how long they have it open, you know, whether or not they're actually reading the thing. And I think that would be a good way to get e-newsletter stuff out in front of people. Like, imagine if we had a newsletter that had the, the first couple of sentences, you know, like on the e-zine, how it has, like, the first three sentences of every article or something before you even open it. Imagine all of them having that teaser there, including the ones for the members only, and then you click on it, and then it takes you to the e-zine. If it's the members only, you have to log in and all that stuff. And then all the content that we've been putting on the e-newsletter but not onto the e-zine, you know, the e-zine would have everything. And the e-newsletter would basically be a way to show jugglers or show whoever reads this thing what's going on the e-zine, and it's mailed out once a month. And then we would be able to open this as a open the e-newsletter to general subscription, and then we'd be able to throw that subscription link into virtually everything that we do. You know, like, we could put it when you register for the festival. Would you like to sign up for the e-newsletter? Yeah, sure. You know, click here to say that you want to do it. For the survey for the video tutorial contest. You know, when you're voting for a popular vote. You know, would you like to join? Yes, no. I think that there's an opportunity for growth there that we should pursue, and that would be relatively low cost to do. I haven't done a lot of the research, but I've done a lot of talking about this kind of thing in a lot of different classes that I've taken, and I think it would be a worthwhile thing to pursue, even if it means, you know, that we'd have to budget, you know, $500 a year for it or something. I think that there's a lot of good that come out of it.
Yeah, and I did a little research as far as pricing goes, and for any organizations up to, like, you have to be under 2,000 to possibly have a free one, but then you still get, like, MailChimp kind of cheesy stamp on it.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
I mean,
that's fine. But then if it's above 2,000, and actually, I think, yeah, it was either one or two for MailChimp, but, and they vary depending on each place. But then you can have up to 5,000 for $30 to $50 a month.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that it's pretty cheap, and I think the biggest hurdle that we would have would be, assuming that Don would like to continue doing this, it will take a little bit of work to learn how to use, but after that it should be a lot easier, too, and this would mean getting some of the information off of Martin's computers at Stanford, and putting them into something where we can actually manipulate some of the data. I think that just knowing that would give us more focus, at least in our social media and any other kind of PR stuff that we do.
That would also alleviate a little bit of the need for the AMS system, because we would have a list of all of our people. Admittedly, it would be but would need to. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and down the line, you know, like, if we ever find ourselves in a position where we would need to have some kind of donor tracking software, like Razor's Edge or something that's, you know, not as big and complicated and scary as that, this would give us a good platform to see who has been interacting with us and for how long, and we could start learning more about the IJ membership. Because right now we just know there are a bunch of people that are members, and this is the region that they live in. You know, we don't really know,
don't know much about
their behavior.
Don't know nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that this is a valuable opportunity to start getting.
And
more.
It helps us to really, with our newsletter, to really hone it in on what's something that's going to be beneficial, like by seeing what people are opening and who's opening it and what age ranges are opening it. How do we make it appeal to an older age range if we want to appeal to those members? And how do we make it appeal to females if we want it to appeal to females? And then you can really see if that's working or not through this measured
Sure.
base.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I mean, all this to me really goes back to a question that's come up a couple of times, you know, which is how do we increase e-zine readership? And
The bottom line really is we don't know how many people are reading it to begin with, and this would be a good way to start getting some concrete numbers that we can play with.
And it will just increase people logging into, ideally, increase people logging
yeah.
into the member and have more member content on a regular basis and
yeah.
Make it actually worth logging in, I guess, as a member. So, just thoughts. And basically how I, yeah, Don, I know Don listens to this, how I framed it in a writing to him is just I've been researching it and want to just discuss the idea of researching it further and looking at what the options are and if they could be a good option for us. So.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment on earlier. Tom, are you keeping a list of all of the donations and their estimated value? Because we can a receipt and they can use that for tax deduction.
Yeah, I have a budget, like a retrospective budget that I wrote last year that included all in-kind donations and their value. I'll throw that up on the Google Drive thing right now if you'd like it.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you've got the final list, because we can give them receipts that will be active in 2013.
You want the 2013. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you have one for 2012, I can send those as well, and I'll do those
yeah.
right away. But the 2013 one, donation, if you get those to me when all the props are in, I can do those too.
Okay, cool, yeah. I sent out receipts to everyone that wanted them last year. I don't think that any action is needed there, but I can certainly send you everything for this year when I've got all that compiled.
Okay. Our next report would have been a membership report, but we didn't get one, presumably because the Sullivans thought the meeting was next week. Financials. Thank you, Scott, for submitting financial reports.
Okay, did everybody get a chance to read it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, just a couple of things that are really important off of there. One, I was faked out by how difficult and involved the annual report was going to be to do at the end of the month. So what I need from everybody right now is full name, address, email, and phone number, and that's what we submitted as part of the board of directors list for the annual report in Delaware. I plan on also doing the annual report that I discussed because I believe that would be valuable to membership. But at the moment, there's much less time crunch on that now. I still hope to get it out same time, but not as important. So that's one. The other
thing. Full name, like middle name too, or just first and last name, do you know?
Whatever you want to use as your full name.
Okay.
I tend to use my middle initial, J. Krause. It's up to you on how you want to have your name shown.
Sweet.
Okay, so that's one. The other one is, we are at approximately $26,000 right now in the general fund. That's after the $45,000 that EB donated has been moved to the specific EB fund, and the $17,000 was taken out for the MMC, and that transfer was just made today. So that is our current cash standing. I don't have the accrual standing because I didn't get the book until yesterday.
Wait, did you say that's including the amount from EWE?
The $50,000 for this year, for EWE's donation for this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the $5,000 for yeah, but $25,000 was put into the EWE long-term fund, and $20,000 was put into the fund.
Okay.
And those two transfers were made in the last 30 days.
So, Scott, it does look like the all those discussions we were having offline to figure out last year's fund amount, it looks like that money has not been moved out of the fund account into the general fund yet, correct?
No. The transfers made, I believe, were for this year's money. Yeah, and they're moving money into the fund, not out of the fund.
Right. So there will be – the money needs to go that way. I've asked Holly to do that a few times now, but I don't think it's happened yet because there's about $13,000 worth of fund expenses from last year that were paid out of the general fund.
Okay. I'm not aware of that. I'll follow up on that. I'm going to talk to Holly tomorrow.
And, yeah, that's just good for people to know since we were having this discussion in email. When the dust clears from last year, it looks like the fund spent about 13 of their $20,000. And through a weird channel, we got the answer from EWE that if the fund underspends, the extra money is supposed to go into the long-term savings account.
Yes.
So there's about 13,000. I'm pretty sure the answer is about $13,000 that will be going into the general fund on top of the balance you stated, and there's about $7,000 that'll be going into the long-term fund from the fund account.
Is Martin on the line, by chance?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Can you summarize that financial discussion real quick, how you want me to include that in the notes?
Okay.
It's just those numbers and the allotment.
Okay, the annual report is due at the end of the month. I need a couple of things, but I need a couple of things specifically for the board addresses. For the money, we have approximately $26,000, and these numbers are in the report. So
I don't need the report, just that part you discussed about the $13,000 and the...
Okay, I can summarize that for you.
Yes.
So, for 2012...
Mm-hmm.
EWE gave us $20,000 that went into the fund account. But the payments made for fund stuff were made from the general fund.
Okay.
In the amount of about $13,000. So there are $13,000 needs to come out of the fund and into the general fund to pay for those expenses.
Right. As far as the accounts go, we have three separate accounts. We have a general account, a fund account, and then the EWE long-term savings account. So when we're talking about money moving around between those are the three.
So basically the $20,000 that went into the fund account in 2012, $13,000 of it needs to move back into the general fund to pay for the things that the fund did spend, and $7,000 of it moves into the long-term savings account because that's money they didn't spend.
Right, so that will increase our current cash balance, or that should increase our current cash balance back up to close to $40,000.
Right, assuming I got that right. Now, what I can't really explain, I don't really understand why all of the fund expenses were paid out of the general fund to begin with instead of being paid out of the fund account, but I'm pretty sure that...
If people were paying using debit cards, then that comes right out of the general fund. There's no debit cards for the fund.
What was the other fund? The general fund, the fund, and the what?
Out of that account.
The EWE long-term fund.
And that's what the $7,000 is going into?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Thanks.
And so, Scott, thank you. I will get you the information you need about myself.
Okay. And why I asked if Martin was on the line, we need to have how much inventory is on hand for the books.
Right, that's not Martin, I don't think.
Oh, I thought Martin was the store director.
He is, but he's not the guy who actually keeps all the stuff and sends it. So I
okay.
think he doesn't know so much.
Yeah, that's
there was
that's
email about that
reason
out there. I'll forward it your way. There's a new guy who's doing that and has all the inventory.
Yeah,
okay, I gotta follow up because Holly can't close the books until we get that information.
Okay, so I will find you the note with that contact information. I'll send it your way.
Thank you. Okay, and that's all for the finance?
Excuse me?
unless anybody has any questions.
Oh, I think that's it on financials. Okay. Anything we had on the fund was in the festival report, so I don't think we have anything to discuss there. Okay. So that brings us to motions. We only have one motion for consideration. Do we have a motion to discuss the motion?
Yeah, I'll make that motion. This is Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Do we have a second?
Second, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay, into discussion. To give you guys just a little bit of catch up. I got mail from Taylor Glenn earlier today, saying mm-hmm. that the video is coming along well, but she had some personal stuff and it's a little bit behind. She's because the first deliverable was supposed to be to us like this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The first version of the video for us to review, and she's saying that she thinks she'll have it by the end of next week. And she is hoping that, you know, the contract says we can dock her pay if it's late, and she's hoping we don't need to do that. I'm sort of inclined to say that I don't really care so much if this deadline slips a bit as long as the final one doesn't slip. That's really what matters, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the question is, when she provides us this video, what do we want to do with it? And the motion I put on the table is to say, as we discussed at least informally last month, that we would upload it perhaps in parts to eJuggle as a members-only benefit.
I'm for that. I'm massively for that. But I also think that we need to have a physical product in the store done to AccuTrack.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that there isn't any real reason not to do that given the AccuTrack model. It'd be one thing if we had to cut a bajillion DVDs we were never going to sell, but I think with AccuTrack it just makes good sense to do that.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't have the context and would like it, I believe we paid Taylor $1,000 to produce the video. So that's really, you know, that's what we are spending that we are potentially not getting back by doing it this way. But I think that we don't sell that many DVDs anyway. I think that the benefit to potentially raising our membership outweighs that personally.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
This would be another title in our online membership only video collection that we're starting to build. I think that gives us a huge addition to our value proposition.
Yeah,
so we're putting
discussions
online.
We first started discussing how to raise the value proposition, and I had proposed kind of a three-pronged approach, and this is the one we didn't do. So,
this would be great.
When we're putting these videos online, are they in high definition, high quality?
Yes, sir. They're all HD, all fantastic.
Excellent.
It's all through Vimeo, so. At least the members all want to through Vimeo. The general ones are
there
on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's any other questions or comments, speak up, and otherwise we can move to a vote. Okay. Does anyone disapprove of the motion as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. The motion passes unanimously. And I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Extremely exciting, yeah. Onwards and upwards,
mm-hmm.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was our only motion, so that brings us to Varia, and we didn't have anything spelled out ahead of time. We're running a little late tonight, but if anyone has anything they'd like to discuss now, speak up and we can throw it in here.
I have one. about the annual reports, the extended annual reports that I want to put together. I'd like your thoughts on whether you think it would be a value-added activity or whether I should spend my time on something else. Because I think it would be good for any for anybody we're trying to put money from if they can see what we've done, what our activities are, as well as our membership to be more transparent in what we're doing. What are your thoughts on it?
My hunch is that the members won't care, but it may very well be worth it in case we're looking for grants and donations and so on. That's my guess. I don't know how anyone else feels.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, I think it's great for donors and for potential grant writing. But, yeah, I don't know how much members would look at it. So if we made it a public thing or published it, you know, some people might check it out.
Yeah, I didn't really hear the question. My phone was breaking up.
Okay, is my thought to go forward and make an extended annual report as opposed to just doing Delaware filings that we're required to do by law? Is that a good idea, or should I be spending my time in other areas than making this extended annual report?
I think it's a really good idea, especially if you can make it, I guess, digestible to the lay reader. You know, not everybody knows how to read a 990. Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and we could post it on the e-zine and try and get some more people involved. You know, in the civic actions of the IJ. I saw something that you were posting earlier about lists of donors and whether or not we have disclosed or the ability or the permission to disclose.
Yeah, Mark's thought was that we did not have permission because we never asked.
I think that we should investigate that in the future, and I guess when people make donations, we should ask whether or not they want it to be publishable, but I think that you should try and generate some statistics and see what the average and what the median donations are, because I think some people might want to donate and they would be interested in knowing what other people are donating before they decide, and that statistic might help us. You know, like if the average donation is $50, people might, you know, be more inclined to follow suit rather than, you know, oh, I want to donate, so I'll just give 20, you know. But I think that with that, people would also want to know, have a better idea of where their stuff is going. So we're going to need to have some pretty good, accurate, and concise summaries of our activities. I think you asked for that, too. And I can get you stuff about video store fantastically.
Great. And numbers are king if you're going to, or if you're going to write anything. So any numbers on how many people we have looking at stuff or how many people we've got certified, anything like that.
Sure. Yeah, I have all those statistics for the tutorial contest because that's what I've been using to try and get donations. And I mean, donations are up 20-something% so far this year. You know, we've gotten quite a few more. So,
great.
Seems to be working. Thank you.
Well.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's good for me.
Okay. In that case, we need to pick our next meeting. I know I have a conflict on March 13th, so I would hope for March 20th.
Let me just right quick.
The time's fine with me. Any Wednesday is good.
Okay.
Apparently, my iPad is down, which means my calendar is down. So I know I'm pretty darn slammed in March, so it's 50 or less whether or not I'll be able to make it.
Yeah.
But for any date.
I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon over that day, but I should be able to make it. I'll try and wiggle my schedule around so that I can be there.
Are you you going to be in Humboldt? I see that.
Yeah, Kurt and I are performing at Humboldt this year.
Me too, and Kevin and Jer.
Yay.
March 20th is, and that brings us to the end. If we have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I so motion. Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Any discussion? Okay. Does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 6:45 Pacific time. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
And talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Take
cool.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah, what's up?
Hi. Are you going to bust out the Valentine's Day thingy?
You send me what you want on it, and I will do that. I agree that it should have something that provokes people to respond.
Right.
But that could also be just something that's in the text, because I think a lot of people might share it if it doesn't. The quality that we have, it ought to be fine. I mean, I'd prefer something that's bigger, but it's not the end of the world.
Well, but the thing is, like, that one I just uploaded that you shared, when you open it, the quality sucks. It looks fine until you open it on everything until it's open on Facebook. So I'm not sure that the quality of my program is good for.
Yeah, I mean, the one that you sent me was 600 by 700 ballpark.
Okay.
It looks okay. I mean, it's not phenomenal, but it's not terrible.
The one.
And yeah, I mean, if we make
on it, or the words.
What's that?
With the words on it or not on it?
With the words not on it, the original one that was
Kevin's.
And I'll make something and I can email it to you, or I can schedule it to be posted at like 10 in the morning tomorrow or noon or something.
Yeah.
And my thought was that, well, there are two ways that we can give virality. One way is having people share the thing, and one would be having people responding to it on the original site.
Yeah, totally.
And if we make the image very shareable, so the image won't say, like, click like or click share or something, it'll just...
Right.
It'll just say, hey, you know, we love juggling, or...
We love juggling. That's what I thought. And actually, the I love juggling ended up looking good with a better eye. I found a better eye.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the thing that you made is fine, you know, you'd save me, you know, 45 minutes.
Oh, right. I would have to redo it at this point. Because
yeah.
It's that kind of program, unfortunately.
But
I love juggling. Yeah, I think that looks good. And using the heart makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's great.
Little,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
you can do the I love juggling and then, like, say Happy Valentine's Day from the IJA in the text.
Yeah, and in the text we should also say something like, how are you spending the day? Or what are you doing today? Or
yeah, a question. Got it. For a response thing.
Yeah. That way we'll have people sharing the photo and people responding on the page. And if you have any money left over in a sponsorship thing, we could throw $5 or $10 at it. I don't know.
Yeah. Just for, I mean, I have it for the festival stuff, festival promotion. But
right.
I was going to promote this one, though, the championship one. Oh, it sucks, but the quality sucks when you open it. That makes me sad. Maybe you should do designs from now on. I was trying to be ambitious.
Yeah, you should get a real program.
I know.
To do photo editing, because
sure
the stuff online is kind of crap.
And it works,
I mean,
for, like,
but,
websites and stuff like that to an extent, but yeah, I hear ya. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I can do the heart one.
Sure. Let me know if you need anything. I'll be up for a little while. I still need
to
hurt.
I'll send it to you when I'm done.
Sweet. Sounds
okay,
good.
Cool. Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right. Yeah, you bet. Talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.